2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Friday to you out there on the interwebs. This is the NBA Daily Dispatch brought to you by the good folks over at DFSArmy.com. Use the promo code PODCAST. Get yourself 20% off each month of your subscription. Promo code PODCAST at DFSArmy.com. I'm your host, Al Walsh. Follow me on Twitter at 14A.Walsh. Find the other guy on this show who speaks beautiful words, Keith Hall. Find him, Boom, at Boomers DFS Daddy. Keith, welcome to our final show of 2016.
You had to go there.
I did.
Yeah, it's...
I saw the calendar and I'm like, hey, why not?
Yeah, I mean, I guess this is a time where we can reminisce a little bit. Last NBA season, just had started doing some NBA stuff, just kind of chit-chatting around, and now all of a sudden, we got a podcast with a nice listener base. We got some nice people in chat in VIP Slack that's winning some money, and it's been a nice year of reflection. So,
sure.
Just a year ago this month, we launched the actual NBA portion of the DFS Army VIP program, and carried that into baseball, and now back into basketball, and just continues to grow, and I'm amazed, and only better things to come, and we have something really, really exciting coming out here probably within the next week or so.
Now, is that a station where people are going to be able to dominate?
That is a station where people are going to be able to absolutely dominate. So, yes.
Okay. I've heard rumblings about this device, and it can only be good things. It was such a key or a catalyst for people to, people winning money in NFL this season. So it's only right that we bring it to the hardwood, my friends.
Yes.
All right. I think that was a great job of reminiscing. We do have a lot of games, two separate slates to get to, which is interesting. I'm not sure if DraftKings is doing it, but FanDuel has done, what is this, an early only and a main slate. So the early only. Now, Chicago and Indiana, I don't think they're playing in China. I think this is just your unusual Friday matinee out there in the cornfields of Indiana. So that's interesting. But that kicks off the early only slate, and then you get the Nets and the Wizards, and then the Heat and the Celtics along with that. And then they break it off, and then we go to our main slate.
Damn.
But the contests are, they're a little clipped off there for the early only games, but you still got a good chunk of game. I don't mind it. Look, in my eyes, the less games, the better. I know you might be on the other side of that line of thinking, but I think everyone's going to be happy by the end of tonight.
Damn.
Damn who?
Oh, man. Okay, so here's the reason why I'm saying damn is I really, 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 really wanted exposure to, some Brooklyn and Washington and some Boston and Miami. And I just realized that the only way I'm going to get that exposure is if I play that damn only early only slate on FanDuel. Why didn't they just make those other two games just like...
Well, I'm gonna give you some nuggets in this afternoon matinee that could potentially turn this into a two game slate. So,
I've already met. There's one guy I'm interested in the Chicago Indiana game. One.
Okay.
One. Well, okay, maybe two.
All right. Well, you know what? Without further ado, let's just get to it. So if you are, you know, let's timestamp it here where we begin the early slate, because I know a lot of people are going to want to, you know, get some feedback on what's going on there. So we begin the early slate with the Chicago Bulls at the Indiana Pacers. Pacers 4-point favorite here. Minus 175 on the money line, 201.5 on the over-under. Interesting thing that I found out about this game. So this is the fourth and final time that these teams are going to play each other this season. And that is important because the home team has won each time in this matchup, okay? And then not one person from either team has gotten 40 or more FanDuel points in any of the three games. I mean, I've got a beautiful graphics coming up. Now, today, too, I'm going to have two separate articles, early only and then the main slate. But as you'll see on the early only article, I pull up, you know, the most points that anybody has scored, you know, from each team in this game or in this series over the season. And it is not pretty, my friends. The only constant, basically, is that Miles Turner has been very good. And Paul George has been terrible. Miles Turner averaging 32.3 FanDuel points in the three meetings. And then, you know, on the flip side, you have Paul George, who's averaging only 26.6 FanDuel points. Now, I guess a lot of that gets attributed to, you know, the stud match between PG-13 and Butler, right?
Yeah.
I should say the stud defense matchup.
Yeah, and that's, I knew what you're kind of getting at here. You know, that's one of the things that I'm not really sure kind of how you would want to attack it. It's more of a you know, you've got the ability to attack with Jimmy Butler or PG-13, but do you have the want to? And for me, I don't have that want to. Like you said, the guy I have a lot of interest in, especially because of the way he's been playing lately, is Miles Turner. You know, his minutes are right there around the 28 to 32 mark. You know, he's got a high upside of 42 and a low of 18. I mean, that's kind of what I'm looking for in tournaments. I mean, I guess you could look at Robin Lopez, who's been about as consistent with minutes as they come, but his ceiling's kind of capped. I mean, this is just an ugly, ugly, ugly game. I do have not. Nope. Never mind. I was about to say, I do have some interest in Jeff Teague, but not at this price. However,
I was taking a sip of water. My bad.
Actually, I have interest in Dwayne Wade at 6,900.
All right.
Since his price is that low, he just put up 21, 3, 5, 2, and 2. Against them on the day after Christmas for 38.1 FanDuel points. So he'd be about the only guy that I'd be willing to go to here. Look, on a three-game slate, a lot of people, they're going to go to the name stars and everything, and there's going to be a little bit of overinflation on the ownership. We all know I don't play Rajon Rondo. I'm not chasing Nikola Mirotic or Taj Gibson or anything like that. I'm just not doing it. The only interest I have in anybody from this game is Dwayne Wade.
Okay. You do have some interesting players to go to there at the power forward position. Thad Young, Taj Gibson, you know, that sort of ping pong could be interesting, but again, I'm not exactly thrilled about it. Another interesting thing to point out here. So you've got the Chicago Bulls, who take the third fewest three-pointers in the game, and you've got the Indiana Pacers, who allow the third most three-pointers in the league. So maybe you get an uptick. I went back and looked at the games. You know, the Bulls are averaging, I believe, 17 or 18 threes a game. The first time they met, I believe they took 21 threes. The last time they met on Monday, they ended up taking 25 threes, so, you know, take that however you will. Just an interesting stat that I saw. But, yeah, not really too much interest here. I like the Wade play. And then, you know, definitely, you know, I'll take a look at the centers from each side. I think we have a better center and a better position in this slate, but I could certainly look down low to both teams.
I know.
Again, we're trying to find a quarter in the poop pile. Yeah. I just came up with that, so if it sounded weird, no kidding. That's why.
I don't know. I mean, this has got the highest total of the three. Wait, are you on?
I was still on Chicago, Indiana. I didn't even get to.
Oh, I thought you said something about. Sorry.
All good. But we can go there. I can see you're desperately willing to get there. I am too. Let's just do it.
Yeah, Brooklyn Nets. I mean, like I said, it's Dwayne Wade, and it's no. I have no interest. Anybody else?
Gotcha.
Don't let people talk you onto Jimmy Butler or anything like that. I mean, I guess no, not even at 7,900. There's no interest in me in anybody from these two teams other than Dwayne Wade.
I'm just gonna
make it simple.
All right, fair enough. All right, let's get to Brooklyn Nets at the Washington Wizards. Wizards, 8-point favorites here, -385 on the money line. We've got a total of 222 in this game. Interesting to note, we've got the Wizards going for their 8th straight home win, and the Nets are trying to avoid their 13th straight road loss. Each of the last two Nets games have ended in a buzzer beater. Very interesting. I got to see one of them live. But, again, I think this one's going to be all about the Wizards. You got Jeremy Lin out again for the Nets, and then Joe Harris is questionable for this one as well. Bradley Beal going to be questionable for the Wizards in this one. He left the last game that they played and was not able to return in the second half. So that could certainly open up some usage for a lot of these Wizards. Let's get down.
Really?
Yeah, really? Yeah.
Do you want to know how much usage it opens up?
Oh, I know you're going to tell us.
I want you to take a guess, okay? Mm. John Wall's usage rate without Jeremy Beal on the court.
Bradley Beal.
Bradley Beal. Who's Jeremy Beal?
That is the baby of Jeremy Lin and Bradley Beal.
Oh, okay.
Fake baby, because two men can't do that. That is scientifically impossible. But I'm going to go ahead at Wall and say 30, because I'm teetering between 33 and 35, so I'm just going to say 34. Higher?
Yes.
Of course. Why wouldn't it be? 42?
Yes.
Is that dead on?
42.3. He's averaging 1.37 FanDuel points per minute with Bradley Beal off the court. Now, here's the situation that we have, okay? This game starts 3 hours later than lock. Like, rosters are going to be locked for 3 hours before this game starts, okay? You're going to have to make a decision. Now, obviously, the easy decision is to just play John Wall and go on. But the question is now do you want to play Markieff Morris? Who sees a bump in usage? Otto Porter, bump in usage? Those are the three biggest ones, because Jan Mahinmi, he's not going to play, so we don't have to worry about him. So that's kind of what we got to now. So you're going to have to take a stand here. Okay, and the reason I say that is because you also have to make a stand on if you want to play Bradley Beal or not. Now, obviously, if you're making one or two lineups, you can, depending on how comfortable you are and if you're willing to just throw one entry fee away if Bradley Beal ends up sitting, the optimal would be to play one Beal and one not Beal, right?
Sure.
Okay, so you can get Beal at a lower ownership. Because if you don't think that some people are going to throw Bradley Beal in lineups just because he's questionable, I turn to you, George Hill, Chris Paul. Who else has done this lately to us? There's been some others.
Mm-hmm.
George Hill last night.
I'm drawing a total blank
now. Oh, Goran Dragic has also done this to us, where they've been questionable throughout the day, and then we've not really known exactly whether or not they're going to play, so we play like they're going to be out. We get word that, like, 2 minutes before lock, they play. Guess what? You throw them into a GPP lineup, you're going to get low ownership off of them, and they're going to go ham. They usually do. That's just been the trend that's been happened. It's happened more times than not, is what I'm trying to say. So, what I'm trying to say is don't discount Bradley Beal on the early lock on FanDuel if you're throwing in multiple teams, because it is a viable tournament strategy, because he's the kind of guy that can go off for 40. And I think if you put Bradley Beal on that team, you fade John Wall on that other, on that same team to kind of get the leverage, if that makes sense.
Sure, sure.
Okay.
I think this, I mean, look, John Wall's probably easily going to be the highest owned player on this three-game slate. So, yeah, I would just lock and load him. But, yeah, you're going to have to be careful with the complementary pieces. In my personal best guess, I'm going to have to say that Beal doesn't play, just because, you know, this is the Nets. So, what the hell, right? I mean, they got enough pieces to get this done. You know, again, Nets probably going to lose yet another road game here, so I think they'll be fine without Beal. Wizards really turned their season around lately, you know, especially, you know, winning all these home games, but they were just absolutely abysmal coming out of the gate. But I was reading some articles, guys are getting really comfortable with Scottie Brooks' system and the rotations that they got going on, so good to see that. I like John Wall, he's one of my favorite players in the NBA, but... you know, obviously hoping for a Nets win here tonight. Probably not going to get it. Let us talk about that Nets side of things, because without Jeremy Lin, you know, obviously Brook Lopez is going to get a lot more shots to put up. Offense definitely going to go through him. And he's been an animal lately. He's put up at least 38 FanDuel points in 5 of his last 6 games. Great matchup tonight against Dragic. And, you know, it's kind of crazy because I remember beginning of the season, oh, you got to get rid of Lopez. He doesn't fit in with the offense, blah, blah, blah. Certainly not the case anymore. This guy is just absolutely rolling right now. He's kind of found his niche. And I think that shows a lot to, you know, the adaptability of him to, you know, kind of fit in with everything. So I really like Lopez as the center to go to on this slate. I know we've got another good one as well, but for a little cost efficiency, I think he could definitely work.
Yeah, there's no fear of him sitting, right?
I would not think so.
Okay, I just want to make sure, because that kind of scares me a little bit sometimes. Is, you know, when he sits, so. Yeah, I mean, look, Brook Lopez is phenomenal. You just play him. You play him in this matchup. If you're on DK, you can play Brook Lopez and Martin Gortat. This is a slate where Martin Gortat is actually in play. And the reason I say that is because of the fact that, you know, you're looking at a lot of variance, but in this, oh God, what to do. Because here's the thing is if you're throwing into a single entry, center is by far the most loaded position tonight. Okay. You've got Hassan Whiteside, Brook Lopez, Marcin Gortat, Al Horford, Miles Turner, Robin Lopez, and we can't forget Mr. Kelly Olynyk tonight. Spoiler alert. But, you know, it's not hard to just kind of throw in, you know, Hassan Whiteside and throw in a little bit of, you know, John Wall. And just, it's not hard to throw in a lot of these guys. And you have to take a stand. I think I would love to target Brooklyn with all of the Washington pieces I can.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I think you have to be smart about it, because if Bradley Beal plays, then that's going to ding Otto Porter and Markieff Morris. More Markieff than Otto Porter, but it's very, very hard at 5,100 to turn down a guy that has 35-point upside going against Brooklyn and Markieff. And that's where it's, you're kind of trying to really, really, really grasp the situation. Because if you look at power forward, you got Markieff, okay. Then you got Trevor Booker, who's been an absolute just abysmal
jump up and down.
Yeah. FanDuel moved the furniture on us, and they've put James Johnson now at power forward rather than small forward.
Saw that.
You've got Thaddeus Young. So there's not a lot to love at the power forward position. So everybody's default is going to be Markieff Morris.
I know. It doesn't make you feel all warm and fuzzy inside.
No, because I love fading Markieff when he's chalk.
Right. Definitely. You know what's great, and you know you mentioned Otto Porter real quick, but if they could put him in a contract year every year, I think he would be an unbelievable NBA player, because you know we're actually seeing the guy play some defense and you know go for rebound. It's a remarkable thing what a contract will do for a guy. Couple other names I want to throw out for Brooklyn. Randy Foy been getting a couple more minutes, but Sean Kilpatrick has finally turned back up, at least 27 FanDuel points in his last three. Without Lynn, he's able to create more shots for himself, so he's somebody to watch. And then watch the availability of Joe Harris today. His list is questionable, but if Bojan Bogdanovic goes to the bench, then this is where I like him a lot more, and he's a pretty good cheap option there at the small forward position.
Yeah, I really, really do like that play. He put up a ton of, I think it was, 14 shots last game? They just didn't fall. So I don't mind going back to the well there. I mean, it's something that's, he still scored 14 fantasy points. I'm looking here on DK, because DK actually gives us the shot total. He put up 11 shots. That didn't really help. So, yeah, I don't mind going there at all. I think it's going to be different. I think the default, like I said, there's going to be a chalk lineup out there. Is going to be Otto Porter and Jay Crowder or Justice Winslow or Jimmy Butler. Actually, you know, there's going to be right around there. So. You know, going down to a bogey here could be sneaky, sneaky. And I don't think you need to take a lot of risks on a 3-game slate. But I think he's one that could definitely pay off, because I don't see him being more than 15% to 20% owned. Sure, and that's actually low on a 3-game slate, mind you. That's like that's like him being like under 10%. On a regular 9-game slate.
All right. Last game of the early only slate here. We've got the Miami Heat at the Boston Celtics. Celtics 9.5-point favorites in this one. Firm -525 favorites on the money line, and a 203.5 total. Both teams are on the back end of a back-to-back in this one. We've seen this twice this week, where both teams have been on the back end of a back-to-back, and it's just been an absolute shit show, so I would expect no different in this game. However, we do have one of the better matchups on the board today with Hassan Whiteside against the Celtics. I know that he disappointed a lot of people last night, but hey, if you read Walsh's way, you saw the beautiful graphic that told you that could have been coming. However, against the Celtics this season, the Heat have played them twice. Heat have lost both games, but Hassan Whiteside has had at least 23 points and 17 rebounds in both games. Could you make the case to pay up for them, even though they are 9.5-point favorite or underdogs here?
No.
Really?
No. I'm on 100% fade Hassan right now.
Boy.
He... He's temperamental, first off, which doesn't really bother me because we roster Boogie all the freaking time. But he just doesn't look right. Like, he took, what was it, 7 shots last game? He took 7 shots. 7 shots.
7.
I can't pay $8,600 for him on DK. I can't pay $9,200 for him on DK for on FanDuel for taking 7 shots. Plus, if you talk about the fantasy point, and I'm going to go back and I'm going to look at this because I want to know what the fantasy point per minute, I'm actually looking it up right now, with Dragic on the court and without. I don't expect Dragic to play tonight. Like, Spoelstra came out the other night.
Yeah, back to back, you probably won't.
Yeah, well, not only that, but too, Spoelstra said yesterday that it was only 50%. He shouldn't have been playing.
Yeah, they said before the game yesterday too that he was like on the ground, wrapped up in a ice or hot pack, whatever the hell that they do with these players nowadays. But basically, looked like a mummy rolling him out there last night. So yeah, I would doubt that he plays tonight.
Yeah, because here's the thing with Dragic off the court. His fantasy points per minute. Here it is. His fantasy points per minute are actually down 0.03. Now, I know that doesn't seem like a lot, but I mean, when you're talking about a guy at 9,200 and you're talking about a 3-game slate and a place where you could possibly gain an edge in tournaments, this might be where you can get it. Because I can sit there and I can go play, well, Dion Waiters isn't playing. I can go play Tyler Johnson, who, other than Josh Richardson, who we don't really know is if he's fully healthy right now either.
Still putting up them points.
He is. Those two, along with Wayne Ellington, get the bigger usage bump. And it actually goes Wayne Ellington, Josh Richardson, Tyler Johnson as far as an increase in fantasy point production per minute. I love playing Hassan Whiteside, and I love attacking Boston with big men. However, I don't really... You're talking about a guy that's probably going to be a plug and play for 80% of the people in your tournaments.
Ooh, that's high.
I have to find an edge somewhere. I'm willing to fade. I'm willing to fade Hassan Whiteside. And if I'm multi entering,
high outlook.
If I'm multi entering, I'm willing to be severely underweight in him. Like. And I don't get me wrong, I am not a multi-enter expert. I am just now diving into learning the what it takes to kind of be successful there. But each lineup is still an individual lineup, and each lineup still holds like its own individual value, where you have to put in a little bit of game theory, I would assume. I would, if I'm multi-entering, say like 20 teams, I might have him on 5.
Okay.
But the rest, and I hate saying it like that, but just to cover my ass because it is a great matchup. I'm not willing to say that he is the number one center play on the board tonight.
All right.
Even in this slate, I think he's actually number 3.
Interesting. All right, so there's our discussion on the great Whiteside. But now if Dragic doesn't play, you know, we were talking about Tyler Johnson, possibly Josh Richardson. You know, we've brought this up recently in the past, but Isaiah Thomas is actually the fourth worst defender in terms of the DRPM, the defensive real plus minus rating. Now, fourth worst out of 433 qualifiers. Yikes, that is terrible. So, you know, if Dragic doesn't suit up, then, you know, you're going to have a great, you know, low dollar, I guess not even low dollar, but I guess mid dollar option there for Tyler Johnson. But just know that you'll probably have a lot of people there with you. Let's look at the Boston side of things. And, you know, Isaiah Thomas, you know, great night last night. We were thinking about, you know, he might not be the best place since he'll probably draw the Liggins coverage. And I don't know, their defensive strategy last night was all over the board. But Thomas ended up breaking through, having a nice performance. I could certainly see him having another good one today. Dragic actually ranks 80th among all, I'm sorry, not 80th, but down below. He's in the very bottom third of DRPM in terms of point guards. So if he does play, you know, you're going to get Isaiah Thomas going up against a limping fella. That should be a fantastic matchup. I was just looking at it. Tyler Johnson ranks 14th in DRPM again, or among all shooting guards. But again, not a guy that I'm afraid to, you know, put anybody up against. I guess we would probably start with Isaiah Thomas here, but who else on Boston's catching around?
Did we call that Avery Bradley game or what?
Sure did, and it
but
sucked
we did,
because
we missed the Isaiah Thomas game.
Yeah, now if Avery Bradley didn't have to play the second and the third quarter, it would have like looked a little better on us. Like he came out blazing, you know, with Kyrie Irving on him, and then the fourth quarter he did well while Kyrie was kind of, you know, at the end of his rope last night. But those second and third quarters, my God, just absolutely brutal.
Yeah, it was. Jeez Louise, you want to talk about reading the whole or the situation right and getting it completely wrong. Wow.
Isn't that life, though?
Yeah, that's DFS in a nutshell, so.
All right. Now, I know you have some love for Kelly Olynyk. There we go. Okay.
Al Horford and Kelly Olynyk. Now, Kelly Olynyk's like your $3 win or go home. We need to think of a different acronym for that. Kelly Olynyk's your win or go home guy, on the short slate. But and it's just kind of one of those things. I love the Boston side of things. They're not playing any defense. They haven't been playing defense for the last 2 weeks and pretty much all year. Avery Bradley is where I would start. Then it's Isaiah Thomas. You can even kind of go with Jay Crowder a little bit, I guess, but it's Al Horford is my top center play of the three game slate.
Okay, yeah, he did put up 42.4 FanDuel points against Miami in the last meeting. Just missed the triple double by what is that? 3 rebounds, 2 assists. So yeah, he's definitely the kind of center that could give Whiteside playing out on the perimeter. Again, you know, being such a high favorite and, you know, with both teams on the back end of a back-to-back, the chance for him to get a ton of rebounds is certainly there. Miami is a very bad rebounding team, so, you know, even with Whiteside there. So, you know, this could be a chance for him to pick up some extra points. So I definitely like that play, too.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. Let's put a timestamp on that. That should do it for the early only slate here. So we'll get into these games that start at 8:00 and go on. We've got the Detroit Pistons traveling down the ATL tonight. Hawks started out as 4-point favorites, but have climbed down a little bit here to 2.5. Still -135 favorites on the money line. And we've got a 201 total on this one, which is, I believe, tied for the lowest of the night tonight. So not too much interest coming from me, not only because, you know, we got the lowest total of the night here, but You know, you got some pretty good defenders on both sides. I guess the one player I would like here would be Tobias Harris. Stretch fours usually give the Hawks a lot of trouble, so I could certainly go that way.
Yeah, I like Tobias Harris. He's not my favorite play off the Detroit Pistons. He's probably my third. My favorite play is Andre Drummond. If my DraftKings lineup started with just so everybody knows, it started with Andre Drummond and Dwight Howard going against each other tonight. I mean, it's either going to be miraculous or it's going to be an absolute just complete and total,
like the aftermath of when Godzilla and King Kong fought each other.
Yeah, there's not going to be anything left. KCP. Wings against Atlanta.
See.
I love it.
Okay.
This is a KCP game. My question to you is how much interest do you have in Reggie Jackson, considering we like to target point guards against Atlanta?
What's funny is I really have, like, he hasn't even crossed my mind lately. I mean, he's, you know, just from the game log look at things, I guess he's doing okay, but, you know, to be honest with you, going ahead right now, I really don't have much interest. I know that we do target Atlanta with point guards, but again, I can't show love for a guy I haven't even thought about since last season. Come on now.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I just. Oh, my brain says continue to target what has been profitable. My heart says you're trusting Reggie Jackson on a. Well, let's see here. It would be on the regular slate. It would be. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven games. That's a little too much to trust Reggie Jackson, in my opinion.
Sure. I mean, there is another advantageous matchup that we have at the point guard position tonight.
Yeah.
We'll be extremely highly owned, but still.
I think he's a smart fade. Just because... How many times has Reggie Jackson and see, here's the thing is, my view of Reggie Jackson is not the same as Rajon Rondo or Ricky Rubio, even though they all have R's.
Interesting.
Yeah. I just don't like point guards with R's in their name or their first name. But it's not the same because I think Reggie Jackson works very, very well. Reggie Jackson can create his own shot as well and is actually pretty good at shooting the ball. He can score as well as dish and rebound and stuff like that. It's kind of funny I'm saying this because he kind of was under Russell Westbrook, even though he hated it. He's a poor man's Russell Westbrook.
I gotta go homeless man's on that one.
Okay, homeless man. Well, whatever. He does not have the same talent, but when was the last time Reggie Jackson, and I know it didn't happen this year, but if Reggie Jackson's the guy that beats me tonight, his high point this season is 36. And that was against Indiana. I mean, Atlanta's theoretically a better matchup, and yeah, it's a good price. I mean, it is 5,500 that we're talking about. So I don't hate the play, and I would rather play him over. I mean, I guess if I have to go mid range at point guard, he would be the guy I would go to. But that's only if I end up there. I'm not going to make it a point to put him in my lineup.
Yeah, I I think we spent too much time on Reggie Jackson personally. Like, I know it's a great matchup, but I'm just not seeing the upside. Much like you never see the upside with Marcin Gortat, I gotta pull that card on Reggie Jackson here.
Yeah.
Now, I know Detroit, I haven't paid much attention to it, but I know that they have switched up the starting lineup. I believe, now I did say stretch forwards against Atlanta, but is it, if I'm not mistaken, was it Tobias that went to the three and Lure to the four?
No, Tobias went to the bench.
Oh, he did. Okay.
Yes, he's right, now so, yeah, coming so off like the bench, and since, I think that happened three or four games ago. Okay, so here are his shot attempts. It happened 3 games ago. Here are his shot attempts his last 3 games. 15, 14, 14. Yes, please. He's 6,000 on DK. He's freaking 6,000 on FanDuel. Yes, please.
Oh, yeah. It works all over the board. Absolutely. Now, you know what it was? Because I caught, like, I don't know, 15 seconds of a Pistons game during the week, and I saw Harris and Lure out there on the court at the same time. So, yeah, that certainly will work out. Not too much else for me from this game. How about yourself?
No. I mean, I'm not. I guess you could talk about Paul Millsap a little bit, but I think he's a tournament play only because it's the. If I'm going to pay $7,800, I'm going to pay $7,900 for Draymond Green. I think he's going to be low-owned, and if you're making multiple lineups, you can throw him in there, but he's not my favorite play at the position. All but right, I do love enough. Me some, like I said, I do love me some Dwight Howard and Andre Drummond pairing up on DK.
Cool. All right, let's get to the next one here. Milwaukee Bucks at the Minnesota Timberwolves. We've got ourselves a pick 'em on our hands. 207.5 money line. I think this is going to be a fantastic matchup tonight. So it kind of surprised me looking at the efficiency numbers here, how well Milwaukee has done on the defensive end. But, you know, both teams here are very efficient offensively, but we do know the struggles that the Timberwolves have had on defense this season. So I'm looking squarely at the Greek and Jabari here.
I mean, that's kind of where you got to start, right?
Yep.
I mean, although this is a tougher matchup for Jabari Parker, but we said that the other night too, and Jabari against Detroit, and Jabari Parker was 3.5% owned in my tournaments, and he goes off for 53, which is better than anything that he had a career game that night.
Right.
And I'm glad I got him at 3.5% owned, because if it wasn't for him, then I wouldn't have been able to overcome. There was somebody in my lineup that shit the bed, but I still finished like seventh in that tournament. So,
well, if he's gonna draw, you know, Karl Anthony Towns or Gorgui Dieng, I feel like, you know, if he could take them out on the perimeter, he's gonna have a huge advantage there. You know, we've seen him basically do whatever he wants with the ball this season. I mean, he is just, you know, leaping out of the gym and just popping it, picking it from every single spot on the court. So just against a weak defensive team like that, I'm not going to put too much worry into it. If we do find some better value at the power forward position, probably going to look there, but the Greek is a definite for me. I mean, we've talked about this at great length too, how, you know, Andrew Wiggins, Zach LaVine are two of the worst defenders in the NBA, according to that DRPM. So, yeah, either way, I don't see either one of those guys being able to match up with him. And whoever Minnesota throws the Greek's way, it is not going to be pretty once it's all said and done. Well, I guess pretty for the Greek, but, you know, everybody else, definitely not.
Yeah, exactly.
How's that in a nutshell? All right, so what are we thinking about from Minnesota, if anything, here? By the way, Greg Monroe has been playing fantastic as well. Forgot about him.
Wow! What a shock, Jason Kidd! You put a guy that averages almost 2 freaking fantasy points per minute on the floor, he's going to produce! God.
It's a wonderful scientific experiment that happened.
Oh my goodness gracious, you would think that he actually started to grow a brain. Sorry, Scotty.
Now, if you were talking about Jay Kidd, the player, you would have had to apologize to me there. But
oh, I think he's a Hall of Fame player. I am not discounting him as a player. I don't agree with him being. He might be a good coach, but
Let's somebody else work the rotations.
Yeah, you just coach. Let somebody else do the in-game strategy. So, yeah. Okay. What's your interest in Karl-Anthony Towns? Because he's the highest priced center on the slate. And if we're going to get guys like Harden, Giannis, Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, there's not a lot of money left over for Karl-Anthony Towns.
No, there isn't, but I think you at least have to make the effort to try to get him in there. The guy's been an absolute stud. I think, I'm not sure exactly what, Monroe's defensive statistics are by any means, but believe me, I'm not worried about, Cat going up against him. I think you just owe it to yourself to try to get him in. I mean, he's certainly in play every time he takes the court. He's got 50, 60-point upside, each time as well. So, yeah, just try to find a way. I mean, I'm certainly advocating for the guy. You're not gonna hear me saying a bad word about the fella.
Yeah.
Because that would be stupid, Ricky.
I think he's going to be low-owned. I think he's going to go overlooked because you've got the guys. I mean, if you sit there and you look at it, he's the one, two, three. You've got four studs on the board. I don't consider that are all over 10K. And then you've got Chris Paul and Karl-Anthony Towns. I don't think Karl-Anthony Towns is going to be the highest owned out of them. In fact, depending on how people are viewing the Chris Paul injury, and because Doc had to come out and open his damn mouth after the game and said I wasn't going to play him more than 30 minutes, just shut up. Just stop opening. How you would think that just because you have an obligation to talk to reporters that you're not going to give away a strategy? Because holy hell, if I'm Houston, I'm pestering the freaking hell that we'll get to that game. I just think Karl-Anthony Towns is going to be either the lowest owned out of everybody over 9K, depending on if Lillard's active or not. I'm counting him as not right now. Or the second lowest.
Yeah, I think
lowest.
We got the doubtful tag on Lillard, but we'll get them.
Yeah.
All right. What are you doing with LaVine and Wiggins here?
Fade?
Right.
Yeah, I just... Wiggins... His shot is not falling. Like, we thought he was coming out of it. I guess his shot did fall.
He's been over 50 decent games here in a row.
Yeah, he's been over 50%. Okay, so I was still thinking that it was the before Christmas Andrew Wiggins. Boy, Santa Claus must have been really good to him.
Right.
Of course he was. He was in Oklahoma City. Okay, so here's the thing. We've got Oklahoma City, Atlanta, Denver. Those are three really, really good matchups for him. Who's going to guard him in Milwaukee? Tony Snell? Actually,
Greek. Could be the Greek.
Why wouldn't the Greek be on LaVine?
He could. He could do both. The Greek is so big, he could guard both.
At the same time?
Breaking news. Bucks are playing shorthanded tonight, and the Greek will guard the 2 and the 3.
And the 4 and the 5.
Yeah, from the Walsh and Hall News Network. Yeah.
There you go. I think I might have a little bit more interest now. I didn't realize he'd been shooting. Yeah, I especially have interest on FanDuel at 6,400. And he's 6,500 on DK. Yeah, I have interest now.
All right.
I really do. Something that, we've been talked about him at times is Malcolm Brogdon. I'm not going after the 28 minutes and the game against Detroit because Michael Beasley. And what I mean by that is since Mirza Teletovic is in the concussion protocol, and probably going to miss. Michael Beasley is actually the guy that's probably going to step in and assume most of that usage that Brogdon was getting with Beasley out, because Beasley and Mirza are two different types of players. Beasley is more of a create your shot, take a shot. Mirza is more of a catch and shoot, pick and pop guy. So it kind of creates a different court working, I guess is what you would call it, chemistry on the court between the two. And Brogdon plays a little bit more off the ball when he's on the court with Beasley at the same time. So that's why if somebody's asking on the short slate for a punt option at point guard, that's why I'm not going to Malcolm Brogdon.
All right. Next game we got here, New York Knicks at the New Orleans Pelicans. Pelicans, 2-point favorites here, minuscule money line, -135. But we got a nice little total here. Not a nice little total, but a nice chunky total here, 215. Anthony Davis, is it time for you to reemerge once again?
He's at home.
Yes.
He's
at home. At a very reasonable price.
Yeah, it's probably the cheapest price that we've had him in a while. On FanDuel at 11-1.
I shouldn't even say, well, is it time for him to re-?
Chris Paul is out.
Ouch, interesting. Now, by the way, I shouldn't even say that. I could have swore he had another bad performance before that Clippers game, but he had been doing some major damage, and you know, we talked about that. You know, without Chris Paul, this Clippers team is going to be different. Well, you know, Chris Paul was in there and, you know, obviously
they
stifled
played
him
well
a little
for
bit.
A long time. Did you watch that game?
Mm-hmm. I did not.
They played really, really well. It's like they kind of had a, they got a shot of B12 vitamin that was known as CP3. And they played well. And then all of a sudden they just like. Man, I really, 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 really am going to need you to talk me off of Buddy Hield tonight.
Oh.
And you're going to have to do a convincing job because he's starting to find a stroke. He's starting to be more involved as far as the rotation is concerned, and as far as the as actually getting looks. And that's coming at the expense of guys like Etuan Moore and Langston Galloway. The Pelicans radio announcers the other night were just raving over the progress that Buddy Hield has made, and I kind of have a soft spot for him.
Obviously.
Courtney Lee is questionable. If Courtney Lee is out, I have a lot more interest in Buddy Hield.
Okay, I can see that.
I do, however, think that, man, you got any interest in Kristaps?
Not particularly. My interest definitely is going to be there with the whole Anthony Davis thing. I know a lot of people are probably going to jump to some Knicks here. But look, I mean, the Pelicans have been a lot better on defense. They're not exactly the team that we can pick on all the time. But I do think that this will be a very good shootout type of game. I could target both. I think you're going to see some heavier exposure there to Joakim Noah after what he did in the last game. Porzingis, no, but I might try to find, you know, some ways into the Knicks, whether it's via a Rose or a Melo or something along those lines.
Okay. Melo's price went down because he got ejected. I guess you could say that Russell Westbrook wouldn't be shown up last night. That was a joke. He's 7,300.
I laughed.
Oh, I know, but I was just saying, like, last night that was a joke.
Right.
I have a lot more interest for him on DK than I do on FanDuel, just because there's going to be a couple small forwards that we're going to talk about here in a little bit that I can't get off of.
Okay.
So yeah, I don't have any Carmelo. I'm not chasing the Joakim Noah game. We picked him the other night. He did fantastic for us. He helped Mr. Aaron win a grand, and this
Sure
is where
did.
we kind of jump off. So, take the Kristaps Porzingis minutes, the Joakim Noah minutes, and the Anthony or Derrick Rose minutes with a little bit of a grain of salt. That was an overtime game, and yeah, that I think
Yeah.
that's probably. I don't have a lot of. This is a high total, and I don't have a lot that I love on the Knicks.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, they're typically getting it done with a collective team effort, and who would have thought that we ever said that on a team with Carmelo Anthony on it? But I mean, look, they got some really talented guys, and they're gonna cap each other's ceiling off a lot more often than not. So yeah, again, you just gotta pick and choose where these spots are gonna be. And again, for me, I think it would probably be Melo or Porzingis, or I'm sorry, Melo or Rose that has the best game of all these guys tonight. One guy that we did not mention from the Pelicans about Jrue Holiday. I mean, I know we're talking about Buddy Hield, getting more minutes and whatnot, but Holiday's still getting a significant amount of time out on the court, producing accordingly. But again, the Knicks, we were scared to target against them earlier in the season because point guards weren't having, as great a games. Well, that is all turned around now. I mean, some of these point guards are having some of their biggest performances against the Knicks lately. So, I think that could be a very sneaky play on a slate with 7 games.
Yeah, I don't mind it. We got a little bit of a narrative here. We've got Justin and Drew going off against each other. This doesn't happen a lot because they only play twice a year. So, it's kind of one of those things that is very, very interesting. I don't think it really matters. It's not like I'm going to be running out to play a Justin Holiday versus Drew Holiday lineup.
I need it.
But
I mean, it
you.
is the holiday season, so you've got narrow. It's
True
like
that.
Derrick Rose on Valentine's Day.
No kidding, right? So yeah, I've got a little bit of interest there because he's going to be a little bit more jacked up, going against his brother and stuff. But I just looked up Kristaps Porzingis game log against New Orleans. Now, granted, all we have to go on is last year. He did have an 18.8 game, but in New Orleans last year, he did pop off with a 16-10 game for 40 FanDuel points. So it's not out of the realm of possibilities that Kristaps actually has a good game. It's the question of, is he going to have. He's like that Paul. He's like Paul Millsap. He's just right there. If I'm going 7,500, I'm either going to go down or I'm going to go up. He's right there in that middle.
I feel you. I feel you. All right. Let's move on to our next game here. We've got four more left to get to. Los Angeles Clippers are at the Houston Rockets. Rockets, 5.5 point favorites in this one, -230 on the money line, and we've got our highest total of this slate, with a 220.5. I don't believe Clippers and Rockets haven't played each other this season, correct?
Yeah, they did earlier, I
They
thought.
did? Oh, I will look into this, but historically, we do know James Harden has struggled against the Clippers defense. Blah blah blah. I do think this is a different story with him playing point guard. But for all the people that think that we're going to see a shootout tonight, I do not. feel that way. I think we're going to see an actual basketball game take place between these two teams. Rockets, I've been very impressed with what they've been doing this season, and yeah, I don't think anything's going to necessarily change tonight with that. So,
no, you know, you're right. You know, they haven't played this year.
Right. So I do think the 220 total is a bit misleading. I think, you know, the Clippers are obviously going to try to slow this game down. They know how to handle Harden from a schematic standpoint. Now, whether they have the horses to do it tonight,
I forgot
because you mentioned it with Chris Paul being out.
Yeah, so there's a difference because most of the time that Harden.
So everything I just said completely forgot. Completely forgot that you mentioned Chris Paul being out. Crap. All right, fair enough.
Yeah, that wasn't. Yeah, so.
So it's gonna be a circus.
Here's what this game has now come down to. There are. In my opinion, there are three viable plays in this game, and everybody else is just let's just throw a dart. It's James Harden on the Rockets, and it's Jamal Crawford and DeAndre Jordan on the Clippers.
Yes.
That is it. Everybody that's...
By the way...
Go ahead. Sorry.
Sorry. I just wanted to cut you off real quick. Line has jumped up to 9.5 now, so that's where that's going. Go on.
Yeah, it's Jamal Crawford and DeAndre Jordan for the Clippers. Patrick Beverley is probably going to play. So for everybody thinking that they're going to go after Austin Rivers and Raymond Felton, forget it. I'm not doing that. I'm not paying an elevated price for Austin Rivers. I wouldn't pay it anyways, but I'm really not paying an elevated price for Austin Rivers. To get half Beverly, half Harden defense. If I'm paying $4,300 for Austin Rivers, I want all the Harden.
Right.
Okay. And if I want if I'm paying $3,800 for Raymond Felton, I want no Patrick Beverly. We've talked about this. Where Patrick Beverly sucked last year, he's absolutely just turned it around again, and is one of those lockdown defenders that you don't want to mess with.
Beverly's actually the second best defensive point guard now, according to the DRPM, and you know, only
who's
played 21
one?
Games, but still, what's up?
Who's number one?
Chris Paul.
Okay. That just goes to show you the atmosphere of this whole game just changed. Because of that.
Yes.
One little thing. And we still don't know anything about J.J. Redick. Like, we don't have any... We think we might know. He might play.
Probable.
He's probable. But he was probable the other night. I mean, until you find out, you have to assume that he's out and adjust accordingly. And for me, if both of these two are out, it's Jamal Crawford. If we get word later on that JJ's in, then it's JJ and Jamal Crawford. More Crawford than JJ, but JJ's still an option there in tournaments, especially since, you know, and I understand Jamal Crawford's $4,500. Well, JJ Redick's $4,400. So if you really can't decide... Most people are going to shy away from J.J. Redick because he's coming off of a hamstring injury. They're going to go to Jamal Crawford for just $100 more. You can pop off and go with J.J. in larger field tournaments and Jamal Crawford in cash games or something. I mean, make the same damn lineup with Jamal Crawford and then reduplicate that lineup and just put J.J. in there. I mean, it's...
Do you worry at all that Crawford would draw Beverly?
Not if Raymond Felton or Austin Rivers are running the point.
Right, but let's say, you know, maybe Beverly comes out of his rotation, I don't know, 3-4 minutes into the game, and then sees more time on the second unit so that he gets the matchup with Crawford. It's because we've never really seen this dynamic without Chris Paul against the Clippers, so. Or Chris Paul against, you know what I'm saying here, but
see, here's, oh, now you got me thinking.
That's the point of the pod, my friend.
Yeah, I know. And I don't like it.
And now my head
okay, so
is killing
if,
me.
If we do think that, you know, they're just going to kind of split it all up and he's going to kind of be on all three at some point. Say, Beverly plays, say, 30 minutes. Okay, we'll keep it a nice round, even number. And he's guaranteed to be 10 minutes on Crawford, 10 minutes on, and this is without J.J. Redick, mind you. 10 minutes on Crawford, 10 minutes on Rivers, 10 minutes on Felton. Okay?
Yeah.
What do you do there? Because you're talking about 45, 43, and 3,800 on FanDuel. For me, I still trust Jamal Crawford more than I trust Austin Rivers or Raymond Felton, but it would you'd almost have to have exposure to all three, though, wouldn't you?
I couldn't do it because I think we're kind of clipping off some upside somewhere, but yeah. I
but
mean,
at 4,500, 4,300, and 3,800, you don't need a lot of upside, or do you?
Yeah.
Or do you just say? You just scrap it all, let somebody else, you know, play the guessing game at higher or at elevated ownership percentages, and just go to DJ.
Ooh, interesting.
Who should absolutely just dominate the trio of Anderson, Nene, and Harrell. I think that might be the play. In tournaments.
Yeah.
It's just get your exposure through all of them through DJ.
Interesting. I mean, you know, obviously, even with Chris Paul in the lineup, the Clippers were 5.5-point underdogs, which I find to be quite telling. Now without him, you know,
I think that might be just because of how they've been playing. Not really. Yeah. Because... I mean, these two teams, they're pretty even when they're at full strength. Because
yeah.
The Clippers play amazing team defense. The Rockets don't play any. And they both can get hot and shoot the ball. I mean, this is going to be a great game. Unfortunately, it's a guessing game right now because of the situation. I think unless you're running out a lot of multiple lineups, I think for me... The safest route is to go with DJ, get your points and your exposure through the Clippers there, and then just go just fade the rest at elevated ownership percentages.
All right. We will certainly be talking about this one. This will be a high priority in the Slack channel, as it already is, I see. So definitely tune in for that one. All right, so we got the Portland Trail Blazers at the San Antonio Spurs. Massive favorites are the Spurs in this one at 12 points, minus, I'll call it 1,100 on the money line, total of 206 in this. So we should have Kawhi Leonard back here for the Spurs, but Damian Lillard is doubtful for this game. I mean, this is not looking pretty for the Blazers. I mean, they looked like a mess without Lillard the other night. That was against the Sacramento Kings. They eventually got it together, but a very slow start for them. So at least they got some practice under their belts without him now. I don't know. Did you see anything from that game that you liked going into this one, or is this all Spurs for you?
Yeah, I saw the fact that Allen Crabbe didn't play the final 7 minutes of the freaking game.
No idea.
And it was Evan Turner and Maurice Harkless. That's a kind of a trio in there. I have zero interest in CJ McCollum on DraftKings. He's 8,100. I might not have CJ McCollum at all. This feels like a spot where we're going to get popped. Does San Antonio play tomorrow? Let's see here. I think a lot of people are going to be chasing the LMA game, you know, since it's – no, they don't play tomorrow. Okay, maybe we won't get popped. I feel like a lot of people are going to chase that game. I'm not going to, especially now that he's elevated in price. I just can't do it. I can't play it's very, very difficult for me to play players when they're chalk. It's even more difficult for me to play players when they're chalk and, you know, don't get me wrong. It is about the primoest spot that you can get at home, you know, against his former team. You've got all these things, but it's almost like it's too good to be true. And I just have other interest elsewhere at the position on this slate. So
yeah, I mean, again, to going up against the league's worst defense here for the Spurs, you know, this one could very well get ugly. But again, I'm gonna have to see some of these roster moves because I agree. I could see. I don't know. I mean, we saw Gasol sit recently, and that was the game against the Blazers. We just saw Leonard sit the last game with a illness. Could be an Aldridge sit, but I don't know. I mean, that's tough to call against. You know, it's tough to call against his old team. But remember, we did see Patty Mills go kind of bananas against the Blazers the last time that they played. That was without Parker, so if Parker sits, that could be an interesting play there at the point guard position. But as of right now, I'm not comfortable going with anything from this game, and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, I just feel like there's going to be.
Well, we could deal with it when it gets there. But
I just feel like there's going to be something from this game that we really, really want to attack. Actually, I don't mind Mason Plumlee here. We've been attacking centers against Pau Gasol all year. So if we don't get word that Pau's sitting, he just sat last week. He's not going to sit again. I really don't mind Mason Plumlee here. He's $6,000 on FanDuel. He is a whopping 56 on DraftKings. I really, really, really don't mind Mason Plumlee here. The problem is on DraftKings, I can't play three centers. So I have to figure out which one of these monkeys are power forward eligible if I want to play three centers. But don't overlook Mason Plumlee tonight. His minutes are there. His usage rate is phenomenal, especially with Lillard off the court, and it's just him and McCollum. It's a lot better than what I thought it was ever going to be. I mean, he's pretty much sitting right there. He's got a... Well, never mind. I was reading it wrong, maybe. It was Alan Crabb that had the huge bump. Because we just don't play Shabazz and Napier. But Alan Crabb gets a 2.7. Obviously, we know... the bump that McCollum gets, but that's what it was. Mason Plumlee's fantasy points per minute increase by 0.1. It's the largest on the team that actually plays significant minutes. His usage goes down, but his fantasy point production goes up. That's gotcha. What I was looking at. So,
All right. Let's get two more games left to get to. Philadelphia 76ers at the Denver Nuggets. Nuggets 11-point favorites in this one, minus 725 on the money line. We got ourselves a total of 212.5 here. Sixers just played in Utah last night, so probably going to be as worn down as you could possibly get. So, advantage, Nuggets.
Not only that, but I put out a tweet last night. I can't believe it was okay, here it is. Sixers missing Bayless, Rodriguez, and Henderson tomorrow at Denver. McConnell, Thompson, Sauce, and TLC, who has just happened to get five straight DMPs, coaches' decisions. That's Timothy Lawua Cabarrot, in case you don't know, are the only healthy guards. Now, here's the question. We talk about this all the time with teams coming into Denver on the back end of back-to-backs, going in there, playing in altitude, especially now coming off of a hard-fought game against Utah where they were in that game for a lot of it, and fought hard. TJ McConnell is $3,800.
Yes.
He is going against one of the better matchups that you can get at the point guard position in the NBA. However, he played 27 minutes against Utah, 9.5. We can take that okay. Phoenix, 11.4. Now, he does have a 40-point game. And
that was on a Sunday, I believe, and that went highly overlooked by the public.
Yeah, but, you know, you've got game log watchers. And TJ McConnell is 3,300 on DraftKings. It's going to be really hard to fade him on DraftKings. I don't think I want to play him on FanDuel. I don't think I need to play him on FanDuel. I can go to other places and play a lot and get value. I don't think I need to go there on FanDuel. And I think he's a smart... Sure, if you want to go there in cash games, by all means. You know, but I think I would rather play Jamal Murray than... in tournaments than TJ McConnell.
For me, this is going to be really tough to pass up because, I mean, look, I remember TJ McConnell all the way back to last season. He did have some very good games. Yeah, I mean, you know, the fact that, you know, he's got the primo matchup, he's going to get primo minutes tonight. I mean, I honestly don't see how you fade him. It's a terrible outlook for their team as a whole. But, I mean, look, McConnell's just in an absolutely tremendous spot with the great matchup. So,
saying it's a smart play not to play him. I'm just saying that might be my play not to play him.
No, yeah, I completely get, you know, to be different. I get it. But, you know, we definitely don't have to... It depends
on how chalky he is.
I think it's going to be upwards of 50-plus.
Really?
Because they're playing...
Rivers,
just because they're playing Denver.
50 is such a high number, though.
I know.
If he's 50%, I'm off of him completely. Like, I have zero interest. If he's 50%, see ya.
See ya! I do think that Denver is going to boost all of that a great deal, so... Yeah, if this were, you know, him going up against, I don't know, freaking Boston or something, like maybe you get it lower. But, I mean, the price is just way too good to do that. And you got studs like Anthony Davis, James Harden, the Greek, guys like that. So, you know, people are going to want to fit those in.
Yeah.
Yep. That's what I think. So, as you mentioned, Stauskas, Oscar Castillo, you know, he'll be a fine play too. You know, we've seen a lot of backcourts do some damage against this Nuggets team, so there's a lot of cheap exposure there. Joel Embiid will be back for the Sixers. He just rested last night. I really don't like what's going on with him and Okafor on the court at the same time. They're kind of killing each other, not, you know, physically, but they're just absolutely killing each other's careers by being on the court at the same time.
They don't know how to play
with each other. So, yeah. It's okay. This is not the PG-13 show. But yeah, I think some of those guys are interesting for the Sixers, but I think obviously you gotta have all your interest in the Denver basket tonight.
Yeah, I've
not all of it, most of it.
It's Nikola Jokic, Danilo Gallinari, Wilson Chandler, Will Barton. Like, all of these guys are very, very, very playable. Even Emmanuel Mudiay. What did he get the other night? He didn't kill you. He got 20. That game was a little bit weird, though. I mean, they're all kind of in play in tournaments. I think my favorite besides Jokic is Gallo. And then it would be probably Will Barton. And then Gary Harris, and then Wilson Chandler, and then Emmanuel Mudiay.
Yeah, ton of great options from the Nuggets tonight. I mean, they're playing the Sixers, so if you don't know that by now, that going against the Sixers is a good option, then I don't know. I don't want to say anything mean because it's the holiday spirit, but it might be time to get out the game. All right, last game of the evening tonight. Speaking of ass kickings, boy, we got one on deck here. Golden State Warriors, 17.5-point favorites at home against the Dallas Mavericks here. Minus 8,000 on the money line, that's all. Over-under here, 212.5. So, yeah, pretty much any Warriors in play here. You know, we've seen this plenty of times. It doesn't really matter to guys like Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson. You know, they're going to get their points regardless. I think those are the guys that are usually safe in these double-digit home favorite games. You even got some bench guys that are viable here for the Warriors, too. I mean, you know, it's crazy. As soon as we get on the Andre Iguodala train is when he starts, you know, kind of slowing down a bit. You know, picked it up a little bit last game, that Toronto game, 18.6, you know, in 30 minutes there. So, I mean, look, I think he's viable in an ass-kicking sort of situation like this. I don't know, what are you looking exactly at on Golden State?
Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, and then Steph Curry. In that order.
Fair enough.
It's Draymond, Durant. This is Durant's team, and if you think it's something else, then you're really not watching basketball. But this is Durant's team. He's the best player on this team. He is actually playing very, very. He's playing at a level defensively that I've never seen him play before. Which is kind of nice because we just thought he was incapable of playing consistent good defense in Oklahoma City. Not that he didn't show flashes, but just consistently. And he's been a lot more consistent with this year. Draymond Green, he doesn't need a lot to kind of fill up the stat sheet to produce. He doesn't need to score a lot. And I love that because when you have guys like Curry and Klay and Durant on the floor, you're probably not going to score a lot consistently. Sure, he'll put up his 10 to 15 points, but he's also going to give you 8 to 9 to 10 assists. He's going to flirt with a triple double every single night. So yep. I have no problems going there. Klay in tournaments, because he's still Klay Thompson, he can still shoot the ball lights out and he can still get hot. He's been pretty consistent lately for Klay Thompson. For this year's version of Klay Thompson. And then Steph Curry is...
lollygagging?
Oh, God, let's not go into this. Steph Curry is pretty much... It's whether or not his shot's falling. He's taken a step back. He realizes he doesn't have to do as much. But I also think that messes with his rhythm a little bit.
Sure.
You know, before when it was just him and Klay, you know, they could both kind of get in a rhythm and it kind of just, you know, shoots you out of the gym. Now it's him, Klay, and Durant. And it's not quite as many, you know, but this is a team that's going to put up 110 points in three quarters.
Yeah.
So you're not, and they're going to play three quarters. And then God forbid, Dallas somewhat keeps it close until midway in the fourth, you're going to wish you had them.
Mm-hmm.
At least one of them.
Yes. Definitely have some Golden State tonight. That is that might be a prerequisite for the evening. But now, all fine and dandy on the Golden State side of things, but there could be some lower-priced options here on Dallas that pop off for some garbage time all stars. Anybody in particular that you're looking at?
Wesley Matthews.
Okay.
I mean, you could. There's a lot of them. Harrison Barnes, who's still kind of underpriced for the amount of usage he gets. The problem is that when you look at him with, I prefer to play Harrison Barnes against or with Deron Williams out of the lineup, but Deron Williams is another one, being 6,400. I mean, Dwight Powell freaking played 14 minutes last night, put up 21 fantasy points, didn't even play the last, 15 minutes of the damn game. Nah. Which I didn't understand. And it's not like Dorian Finney-Smith was absolutely just lighting up on fire, because he did. I mean, that's where his minutes came from, was instead of them splitting it, it kind of came at the cost of Powell. But, I mean, Finney-Smith only had 12-3 and 12 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. And Dwight Powell, I think, had that in the first half. Sorry. He had 14-6. But, I mean, Dirk was out last night with a quote-unquote illness, although if I'm ill, I don't want to be sitting on the bench. So, It's Wesley Matthews, it's Harrison Barnes, it's Deron Williams, and then if you want to try to, in large field tournaments, get cute and guess which one is going to have a great night between Dwight Powell and DFS, then go right ahead.
Yeah. Also, to remember, we have seen the Mavericks kind of just absolutely pull the plug on this game before. I think they've done it the last couple of times they've gone to
They Golden did it State. Last year, remember? I ripped up all my notes on live TV, or live air.
Live
they set the whole damn place, and it is the back end of a back-to-back. So, yes, indeed. Be careful.
Yes, and they also did it this year, too. I already know Bogut's not playing, so, definitely watch out to see what happens there. But, you know, too, if you watch out close enough, and it sucks, too, because this game, you know, it's going to go off, I believe, 2.5 hours after lock. So, I don't know, if you hear any news through the grapevine, you might be able to get some low ownership plays that are playing 30-plus minutes tonight. So, definitely look out for that. That's going to do it for us tonight.
Yep, let me pop this out there. Our relative narrative guy has just informed me. Andrew Bogut didn't play when these two teams played earlier in the season. He, as far as we know, is planning on playing tonight.
I saw something that he was out already.
Andrew Bogut?
Yeah. I gotta double check that, but I believe I saw it on RotoWire. RotoWorld. Andrew Bogut will not play Friday night. Yeah.
Oh,
hold on a sec. Andrew Bogut, he didn't play last night, did he?
Yes,
he did. Yeah. Yes. All right. So I was double checking to see there, because it said I fell asleep during the game, so I didn't even see it. But he's not in tonight. He's not in.
Okay. so now we have the Curry brothers going at each other again. Who. Is our relative or our DFS Army narrative street guy. So other than that, I got nothing else, brother.
Me either. It's been a phenomenal 2016. Next time we speak with our voices, it'll be 2017, but surely talk over the weekend. via the Slack and text and whatnot. So have a happy new year to you and to all of our listeners out there. Thanks for continue to listen in and whatnot. So good luck tonight, and we'll see you in 2017.
Peace out.